And good afternoon, Tri-States, and welcome to this edition of your radio magazine, Voices of the Tri-States. Well, today we are talking federal issues. Joining us by phone, we have Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. And, Senator, good afternoon.
I'm glad to be with you, and just so you know where I am, I'm speaking to you on a cell phone from Iowa State Fair. I visited every fair at least one day, and this time it'll be 2 days since 1974. I enjoy the fair and just walking around and being just a citizen.
Do you have a favorite part of the fair? I know, of course, you've got an agricultural background. Do you get down to the barns and such, or what's your favorite thing?
Well, if I said the favorite thing, it would be the butter cow. I always make a point of seeing the butter cow.
Okay.
Then I've been through the beef, pig, horse, and sheep barn today in the 4-H building. And let's see, I'm going to probably tomorrow I'll go through the varied industries building. And A lot of times I make a point of serving tea at the pork tent and having my favorite be a pork chop on stick. And I visit usually visit the telephone history booth because they have in the historical, or I guess you call it the historical telephone building, they have the first mobile phone that I ever used, which was probably something that weighed 200 pounds, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
You're permanently attached to your car.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Iowa State Fair, exciting time. In fact, I shouldn't maybe disclose my age, but I know the Variety Theater doesn't exist anymore, but many years ago I used to perform there when I was a youngster with my dancing group at the State Fair for several years, and always a good family time. And you know, I haven't been back in several years, and my hope is this weekend I might get a chance to do that. So I'll get to see some of the things that you're talking about, and I know if our listeners get a chance, it is a spectacular fair. So, Senator, that means we are on a little bit of an August recess. Is that right?
Yeah. For me, it's the state fair this week, as well as a couple Farm Bureau meetings. And then I also will have, next week I got 5 days at our vacation. But then the last 2 weeks of August, because we go back the day after Labor Day, the last 2 weeks of August, I'll have 30 county meetings. So I have 65 counties done now. I'll have 95 done by Labor Day.
Always amazing, Senator, that you are able to do that every year. And I know federally, or at least across the country, a lot of folks taking note of that. And I think a TV show last year even called it doing the full Grassley or something like that.
That's right. That's not something I named. That's something some presidential candidate named, I believe, or maybe the Des Moines Register gave us that name.
Okay. Well, Senator, I want to talk about some things, although you're back here, some things still happening on the national and worldwide scene. President Trump's recent response to North Korea, a lot of tough words out there being bantied about, and some concerns, of course, for the U.S. Pacific territory of Guam. What are your thoughts on this?
Let me explain something that I just found out this morning. For people that think that their statements this week by the president was kind of shooting from the hip, it was a 1999 interview on NBC, something like, I don't know if it was Meet the Press, but that type of a program, where they were interviewing a citizen by the name of Trump. And it was about North Korea. I don't remember the news about North Korea in 1999, but it must have been in the news similar to what it is right now. And, you know, they replayed a long part of it. Let me kind of sum it up this way, that the president kind of asking the question, are we going to wait till North Korea gets to be a nuclear power before we do something? And just think of how the foresight he had today or then about what the situation is today. And we know that North Korea is a nuclear power. And not only that, but they got the capability of delivering it to the United States, similar to what the Soviet Union had in the Cold War. So should not be as surprised as people were when he made the statements about the power and the fire and the fury and all that stuff. Then that takes me back, your question takes me back to about 2 months ago, mm-hmm. when all 100 senators were invited down to the White House, and I imagine at least 90 of us went down there, and we were told by the intelligence community and by the military people that we've always been worried about North Korea, and nothing really happened, but we got to be more concerned about it now because something could happen. So in the last 2 months, we've seen what could happen. They're testing of ballistic missiles. The report that they have a warhead that they could deliver to the United States. There are threats to bomb Guam, as an example. What we're seeing now is what's been predicted by a citizen, Trump. Back in 1999, what our generals are saying is a real problem now, and we got to be on top of it. So that's kind of where we are. But I think you have to take into consideration several retired generals probably keep up on this stuff just like if they were still in uniform, saying that they don't consider war anything immediate. And then you have Tillerson, our Secretary of State, trying very hard to get some talk started with North Korea and to settle North Korea down. But that isn't going to happen just by saying they're willing to talk. They got to show some good faith effort that they didn't show in 2006 when Secretary of State then said that they're ready to talk and they're ready to denuclearize. And we took our sanctions off and nothing happened. And then things are worse now, 10 years later.
I think you and I have talked about this, Senator, possibly getting China more involved in this situation. Do you see or have you gotten reports that they are getting more on board? I don't know if that's the right phrase, but to understand that this situation is serious and we do need someone who can at least communicate with this dictator in North Korea.
Yeah, I think you saw that Saturday when not only China, but Russia, who had previously been vetoing our efforts to put sanctions on China, voted 15-0 with the other 13 to make sure that those sanctions were put in place. And so I think there is a real change of heart on the part of China and Russia.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about something, of course, making the headlines every day, something new, a new twist and turn on this Russian election tampering investigation. Any update that you can give us from your side of things?
Yeah, I can give from the side of my committee investigating, not from the side of what the special counsel's doing, because that's ought to be, and sometimes isn't, completely secret,
right.
But it ought to be. We're negotiating with Trump Jr., with Paul Manafort, and with Mr. Simpson of GPS Fusion Company to sit down with them for a transcribed Q&A with them on everything dealing with the Russian situation, in particular the June 2016 meeting that has made the news lately. Those negotiations on an exact date to sit down with them aren't settled, but I'm told that those negotiations through my staff and Feinstein's staff are going pretty well. They've started delivering documents on August the 2nd, but the dribble of documents will probably go on for a few weeks, but they're cooperating from that standpoint. The only thing that's out there that I can't tell you, because I don't know whether it's going to be necessary or not, but the open hearing that we have with Trump Jr. and with Paul Manafort and Mr. Simpson, exactly when that would be held, if it's going to be held.
Okay. Senator, I know since we last talked, we were talking about you were, I think, on the brink of a vote with Christopher Wray to become the next director of the FBI. And you mentioned some leaking in our last question. Do you think with this gentleman we're going to see some of that come to a little bit of a halt?
Yeah, but I think it's more at the leadership of the attorney general than it is the FBI director.
Okay.
But it's the FBI director's intention to do that, and he's been ordered by the attorney general to do that. And it's a question of priorities, and they're just sick and tired of all the leaks, and there's going to be more resources put into investigating that.
One of the big issues, of course, the health care reform, John McCain making that big dramatic vote against, I believe, the last effort to change some things. What's happening, and I had actually, it was interesting, Senator, I had Congressman Blum on my show on Monday of this week, and I said, it seems like a quagmire over there, that there just doesn't seem to be an agreement of what needs to be done or to get some things done. What's your take on this whole health care issue in the Senate?
Yeah, well, it's very important we do something for Iowa, because 72,000 Iowans can't get insurance for next year. Not every state's in that position. In fact, just a few states have part of their state so affected. But don't forget, 40% of the counties in America, which would be 40% of 3,000 counties, they only have one company. Exchange. Yeah, one provider in the exchange. Most of the country doesn't even have any choice whatsoever. So to correct those things, something has to be done. So I start with a very local approach to it. But nationally, something's got to be done, because even Hillary Clinton said during the debate that she was going to have to make changes to Obamacare. So people shouldn't be sensitive about just leaving Obamacare alone, because it's in a death spiral and people can't get insurance, or they don't have any competition for the insurance. So bottom line of it is, it's necessary we do something because of the broken promises of Obamacare. Now, if people think we're repealing Obamacare, I would like to say we can completely repeal it, but we're talking about a 2,700-page law that we're going to correct with about 122 pages. So a lot of Obamacare is still going to be in place even after we pass some legislation. But it's necessary that we do it, and hopefully there will be people working. When I say they, to somewhat I'm involved as a member of the Finance Committee, but it's more under the Health Committee under Secretary Alexander's leadership. But hopefully that while we're working on tax cuts in the Finance Committee, the Health Committee will be able to simultaneously be working and finding a solution for for Obamacare.
And you know, that's one of the concerns, I guess, and they had some Associated Press story about the president continuing some of his taunts of Majority Leader McConnell, that whether or not he's going to be able to pull this off. Where does the problem lie in getting something together that even on the Republican side of things that you folks can agree on? Where's the problem here?
The problem would be McCain,
okay,
and Collins and Murkowski. When 48 people, 49 people are with the leader, seems to me it's difficult to find fault with the leader when three senators who the leader can't control his vote. If you ask me, what do I honestly control in the United States Senate?
Yeah,
it's the vote for the people of Iowa that I cast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can control that vote except me. So people are saying, you know, you need to get a new leader. Well, just quantify 49 people voting with the leader, three not voting for it. Are we going to say just because he can't control the votes of those three senators that you get a new leader? No. I think he's shown his leadership, getting a new Supreme Court justice, getting 14 resolutions of disapproval to be signed by the president for regulations that we thought that the Obama administration put out that were very bad for the economy. I don't think that this is the time to start talking about change in leadership.
Well, and I sometimes wonder, Senator, just a sidebar, of course, some of the quabbles that the president has had with particularly John McCain, if this just isn't a little payback.
Possibly, and I've heard that from a lot of people, and it's fair to assume it. The actual motives, I don't know, and I don't know whether anybody else knows the actual motives.
I want to talk health care. One thing that it looks like, a couple of things, in fact, that you guys have been kind of putting together, some bipartisan efforts. One is a bill to preserve patient access to Medicare home infusion services. I think there might have been a problem with an original bill.
Yeah.
That corrects it.
Yeah. You know, if you have to go to a hospital to get that infusion, it's very costly to Medicare. Doing it at home is a lot cheaper, a lot more comfortable for the patient, and we ought to encourage it for saving money as well as convenience. And the legislation that we have would help us move that along so it could be done without the hindrance that it gets now from CMS.
And another thing that I thought was pretty good moving forward, again, the Over-the-Counter Hearing Aid Act, and this would allow folks to just purchase these without going through a doctor. Is that right?
The answer is that the present industry, because of high costs, serve about 1 in 7 people that have problems. This legislation will not have anything to do with those companies now manufacturing these sophisticated hearing devices for people that want to spend $3,000 or $4,000 to go ahead and buy them. But there's other people that can't afford that, and they're willing to try something else. Present law doesn't allow them to do that. So this legislation very simply gives the FDA the authority to give an approval process for other types, maybe less sophisticated hearing devices, an opportunity to be sold over the counter. A little bit like you can go buy reading glasses over the counter. There's no law against that.
Okay. So also, I thought there was some bipartisan legislation stepping up some enforcement against perpetrators of crimes targeting senior citizens. This sounds like a win for the older population as well.
Yeah. We had a hearing on this, maybe it's a year ago now, I think, before my committee. And you can't, I wish I had the exact figure, and there is an exact figure put out by the government, of the number of senior citizens that are built out of money, billions of dollars out of money by scam artists. And this is to focus on that problem and to do it through education, through increased criminal penalties. I don't know, there's 6 or 7 ways that the bill attacks the problem. And to take care of so senior citizens will not get taken this way. And by the way, it's difficult to get senior citizens to talk about how much they've been robbed through this process, because it's real embarrassing that they didn't know ahead of time. I'm going to talk about a very small figure, but probably in the late 1960s, because my mother died in 1974. But sometime during that period of time, some scam people came around to the farm to say how bad her septic tank was, and they could fix it for her, and it cost $175. She didn't want it done, but they intimidated her into doing it. She wrote the $175 check. They cashed it right away in the local bank, because my mother had a good financial reputation. She never wanted to talk about that, because she was embarrassed about it.
And I would imagine a lot of people are, so it sounds like some good legislation on that side of things. You know, also on the healthcare side of things, I saw something, transparency of scientific research involving human subjects. I think this was something with the EPA. Was there some experiments or something that they didn't tell folks what they were doing exactly, or does this ring a bell?
No, it doesn't ring a bell. If you got some more information, it doesn't involve legislation, though, does it?
I don't think it does, but it just is regarding the agencies, if you're going to be doing some testing, that they do need to do and disclose more about what it is that they are doing. But something, I don't want to say more important, but because everything is important, and you mentioned tax reform this year. Is that going to take place, you think?
Yes,
good.
Christmas. And it should have been done by now. If it had been signed by the president right about now, it would have really improved the economy even before the year's over. I don't think we can get one signed before late November or before Christmas. But I don't want to say that the only way that can be done is because there's been a lot of work done behind the scenes on it. I've never seen a tax cut issue where the White House has been working so closely with both the House and Senate tax writers, and I'm one of those tax writers, as I've seen this administration do. If the administration had been working this close with us on health care reform and reforming Obamacare, I think the president would have signed a bill by now. But really working on these tax issues now, and I expect that we'll be able to move in the House in October, in the Senate late October, and get a bill to the president before Christmas.
Okay, well, we will stay tuned on that issue as well. Something I thought was interesting, too, and it looks like there's some bipartisan legislation to crack down on the misuse and abuse of the government purchase of travel cards. And I know you and I have talked about this in the past, so it looks like something is maybe moving forward.
Well, first of all, you and I have talked about this maybe for the past 10 years, we've already passed some legislation, but every time we think we pass a bill, there's still some sort of loophole that somebody can find to get around. And let me give you the big picture, and this bill just fills in a small part of the the problem, just like a few other bills that we passed have tackled the problem. And I don't know whether you're going to ever get it 100% tackled. But people, first of all, I started out with the Defense Department, but that's just where I started. Now you find out that you have abuse of travel cards and credit cards and debit cards in almost every department. So what we basically are trying to do here is to make sure that we have a financial control system in place in every department so that people can't use their credit cards to go to a house of prostitution, buy a refrigerator, buy expensive jewelry. I don't know how many different examples I have given over the last 10 years about the abuse of credit cards, but there's too much of it, and there hasn't been enough prosecution of it.
Okay. Well, Senator, as always, our time goes quickly, so indeed enjoy the Iowa State Fair down there, and hopefully we will talk to you again next month.
Okay. Goodbye. Thank you.